Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to the show. Today we're hearing excerpts from new federal CIO Tony Scott's first public speech. Scott spoke in March at the AFSEA Bethesda, Maryland chapter breakfast, where I moderated a panel on the 2016 IT budget request. In the second part of the program, we'll hear excerpts from that panel. But first, Tony Scott, the new federal CIO.
I thought I would share a few of the thoughts and priorities that we have going into this next year. First of all, I think we're riding a tide of good trends in the federal government as far as IT is concerned. When you step back and look at it, a macro view, we're getting more efficient. We're starting to transform technology. We're getting great savings from the various tech stat and portfolio stat reviews that we're doing. We're beginning the hard journey of, you know, closing a bunch of unneeded data centers and consolidating. And we're focusing on what I think is a many years long journey to help digitize the services of the U.S. federal government. And my experience in private industry is that that journey is one that is full of, you know, fits and starts and experiments and successes and some failures along the way, but it's a necessary part of the journey. And getting the right kind of talent in the federal government to help do that is also a part of this mission. We're focusing on project management and delivering faster and with better results, and using methodologies for developing software and systems and citizen experiences that's much different than the traditional ways that we've engaged in that in prior years. And I think these are all important elements of the mix that we have to put together in order to really make progress in federal IT. And so a lot of credit goes to the efforts that were started long before I ever got here, and I'm sure we'll continue on long after I'm gone. But these are important ingredients to really get us started and get us launched the right way. I think there's three main areas that I would point to and say these are our areas of focus at a strategic level. And each of them is underpinned by having great people and great talent and great leadership in our various organizations. The value in federal IT investments piece is both the story of investing in the right things, but also making sure that we get rid of the things that we no longer need. Delivering world-class digital services is all about enriching the citizen's experience and making sure that at the end of the day, when we're all done, you don't have to have an org chart for the federal government to figure out where to go on a website to get the things that you need. And that when you do experience a digital service, it's a rich feedback environment that's very customer focused and drives the right kind of feedback to the various agencies that supply those services and how to create an ongoing better experience for those who use it. And in short, it's getting what you need, when you need it, where you need it, and how you need it in the way that's most effective to you. And I think if we step back and look at what we've done so far, you see early examples of that, but we've got a great journey ahead of us. And then probably the mission of our time, protecting federal assets and information, that includes citizens' information. This is a job that will never be finished. Coming from private industry, this is the biggest growth area in all of technology right now. Before taking this job, I was CIO at a company called VMware, who sadly isn't one of the sponsors of your organization, so I can help on that front, maybe. And I had the unfortunate need to go recruit a chief information security officer, and it was the hardest recruitment I've ever had to do in my professional career. The demand for talent in that space is off the charts and an area that we need to continue to invest in. So I know firsthand how hard it is to find the right kind of talent in that space. And there's lots of room for innovation in that federal security space. Now, let me give you some context for the federal budget. In most organizations, if you actually added up all of the money spent on IT, it exceeds what you would see in the IT budget because there's a whole bunch of so-called shadow IT and other things. But it's probably the fastest growing area of spend in most organizations. And if we were to sort of project out where the federal government was headed, you would see that it was in a pretty unsustainable growth rate in all likelihood. But through a lot of great efforts so far, the amount of spend is more or less leveled off to what I would consider to be a sustainable level. But probably more importantly, in the part that's hard to explain, is the efficiency and effectiveness of every dollar that's spent. And that's where we're going to put our focus over the next couple of years. So let me go into a couple of the strategies in just a little bit more detail. The first one is delivering world-class digital services. We have a bunch of cross-agency goals that we're focusing on across what any individual agency does. We've developed a digital services playbook and some acquisition guidelines that will help. And we've continued to invest in open data and open government initiatives as a part of all that we do in the IT space. And together, I think these things, plus some additional things that we'll be talking about over the next year, will help us accelerate the pace at which we deliver world-class digital services for the federal government. And there's probably no more important work that we do than what we'll do in this space, because it is a story about transformation over time and taking us into a new era of IT and a new citizens experience at large. The part about driving value is also about driving efficiency. And there's a number of ways that we'll do that. Adoption of agile technologies, creating the right kind of dashboards that will help us understand whether we're making progress or not is an important part of the journey that we're on in that space. And one of the things that I've learned as a CIO in my prior experiences at General Motors and Disney and Microsoft is that giving CIOs a dollar target is often the wrong thing to do. All of us will have had this experience, but if you give us a dollar target, we'll figure out how to cut costs in the short run, but perhaps not drive sustainable value in the long run. What'll happen in many cases is we'll just stop buying, stop spending or investing on the new technologies that we need to really make a difference. And so what I prefer is, rather than giving a dollar target, I prefer giving goals that ensure that we're investing in the right set of things so that we have a brighter future ahead of us, rather than having to play catch up when we inevitably find ourselves behind the eight ball. And I already talked about protecting federal IT assets and information. Lisa is now heading up one of the areas, the eGov cyber team, that I think will make important contributions as we look across the federal government. And one of my focus areas there is to look horizontally across all the different silos of cybersecurity that are typically found in an organization, and focus on the end-to-end effect of all of the things that we're doing. And also focus more on how do we have rapid response and recovery as opposed to just prevention of bad things. So those are a couple of insights into areas where I think we'll continue to invest. And we've gotten good traction on CDM, the Continuous Diagnostics and Monitoring Initiatives, but we need to extend that to include, you know, digital asset management and understanding a lot more about what we're running in our data centers and how all of that works together.
We have to take a break. You're listening to excerpts of a speech from new federal CIO Tony Scott. I'm Jason Miller, your host, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, your host. In this part of the program, new federal CIO Tony Scott tells the FCA Bethesda breakfast crowd about his focus on the IT workforce and the digital services organizations.
Now, being part of Office of Management and Budget means that we have analytics and oversight responsibility for the federal government, and that will continue. We'll continue to do our portfolio reviews, our tech reviews, and our efforts to optimize infrastructure across the federal government. And I think there's plenty of opportunity there. And we're getting a lot of help from lots of places in this effort. And so I think this is an area where we have lots of useful tools that we can better leverage. Let me talk about the digital service focus just a little bit. This is really an effort to bring the best talent that's available from the best places on earth to bear on some of the big challenges that we have in federal government IT. And our focus thus far has been on consumer-facing, citizen-facing, scale, most impactful digital services of the federal government. But we're also going to probably expand the talent in that organization to focus on some core infrastructure areas and anywhere where we need rapid change and the best talent we can find in order to address the challenges that we have going forward. And the digitization process, I have found, is an interesting journey from beginning to end. I experienced it at Disney, I experienced it at General Motors and at Microsoft. And it's a different way of thinking about how you address the business challenges or the agency challenges that we have in the federal government through the use of information technology. And simply said, it's the next step beyond automation. It's reimagining how we deliver the intended results of our organization. And so I really look forward to both growing this digital services team, but also integrating it in the very fabric of the IT organizations and the agencies that will take advantage of these teams. Now, I wanted to touch on cyber for just a second, because it is the topic of the day, it is the topic of the month, it's the topic of the year, and it's probably the topic of the decade, I think. When we look back in history, we'll say this was the time of cyber. And one of the ways I want to think about this is getting out of the silos that are natural in terms of how we organize to do things. When we were choosing the graphic for this, I wanted to, represent some of the key players who play a role in the federal government's challenges in terms of addressing cybersecurity. And I chose the graphic on purpose. I imagined all of these organizations in a canoe together, all rowing and trying to get somewhere. And I think it's absolutely the case to say, none of us can say, hey, your end of the canoe is sinking, I'm gonna just do my thing. This is a case where teamwork across the federal government and utilizing the best of private industry and public agencies will help us get to the place that we need to get to. So finally, I'll take a couple questions. One of the biggest priorities for me is what I would call landing the plane. I don't think we need to invent a whole bunch of new things in the next couple of years, but I think we've really got to land the planes that we've launched and make sure that of all the efforts that we've started, that real results get delivered and that we're held accountable for delivering results on the many promises that we've made across the organization. So I chose this analogy. I'm a pilot, and one of the things that I learned early on is you can teach somebody to take off an airplane actually pretty quickly. As a beginning pilot, you learn to take off in the first lesson or two that you take. Landing a plane successfully takes hours and hours and hours of practice and many tries. And even experienced pilots have a rough landing every once in a while. Very few of them have a rough takeoff. And for me, it's a perfect analogy for my experience in IT. Projects are easily started, great ideas are initially thought of, It's a lot of fun to celebrate the start of something new. And then it's hard work and experience and the work of a lot of people to actually land something and make it work. And so for the next couple of years, my focus is let's land the planes that make a difference and will help us deliver better services for our citizens. So with that, let me take maybe a question or two. And
all right, Mr. Scott, we have our first question back here. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. I'm Dennis Riley with Gigamon. You mentioned the cyber threat and CDM. And the CDM contract has recently come under some congressional criticism for not moving quickly enough to help agency CIOs defend the network and mitigate any breaches. What can be done to help inject new technology into CDM rapidly so that there's more of a innovation and disruptive approach like you're used to seeing in industry and out in Silicon Valley?
Well, I think that there's a myth that private industry always moves quickly. I'm not so sure that's actually the case based on my experience. So I'd like to debunk that myth right off the bat. I've seen some pretty slow stuff in private industry as well. But one of the things that I think helps accelerate from a time perspective is just alignment on goals and make sure there's clear understanding across all of the people that are involved in any given process on what our goal is, what the deadline is, the importance of getting something done in a timely manner. And often I've found it's just misalignment on goals that creates, you know, this elongated period of time. So, you know, that's probably a simplistic answer, but one of the things that I've found to be the most effective. And, you know, you can say we're aligned on goals and everybody will give you the sort of head nod, but then you have to go down about two or three layers and say, what are the actions that we're doing? What's the delivery look like? And how is everything that we're doing going to make sure that we do this in the time frame that we set out in the beginning? And quite often you find that, you know, two or three layers down in the organization, there isn't the alignment that you really need to do that. It's kind of like you know, trip planning in some sense. If you don't know where you're going and the route you're going to take to get there, it's hard to actually get anywhere. And so I've found making sure that that roadmap and that time frame is absolutely clear to people is the first goal. Some of the slowest things I've seen were, you know, just based on not anybody really understanding what the goal was or not being fully committed to getting there when you were supposed to do it.
Curious as to what are your thoughts around cloud-based solutions in the federal government?
I love the cloud a lot. The question in my mind is, how do you get there? And my experience has been that, you know, if you take the old set of applications that we have, the vast majority of them are not ever going to migrate to the cloud in the first place. And so it's not a case of lift and shift and we're just going to sort of move things there. What you really have to do is have three strategies, I think. The first one is know what you've got, and then have a roadmap for those things to understand on what time frame and under what conditions you are going to move things. And in some cases, you're just going to say, we're not investing any more in that. We're going to go to a completely new platform. The second thing that I think you have to do is identify the common services or platform kinds of things that avail themselves or are potential for a big cloud platform. So there's patterns across the federal government, things that, you know, every agency does, that there ought to just be a cloud underpinning for that today are embedded in siloed applications. So identifying those common services and creating an environment where everybody can take advantage of those at scale is key to sort of getting there. In the private industry, the examples are many, but you can go to Amazon or Microsoft or any one of a number of different companies today and get an agreed upon set of things that are industry accepted and are economic and more high performing than anything any individual organization would go create on their own. And those are great examples of infrastructure as a service or platform as a service kinds of moves that I think we have to spend some time and identify across the federal government. And then the third thing is, you know, being very deliberate about killing off the stuff that's not going to survive the move to the cloud. And as I said earlier, we're great at launching new things, but, you know, getting rid of the old stuff is part and parcel of that journey. So, you know, those are probably some of my early thoughts to getting to cloud. The benefits are phenomenal once you get there. So when I was at VMware, we had 100% of our application development environment in our cloud platform, and it made us so much faster and more agile and economic than we would ever have been otherwise. It was, to me, a living proof that, you know, it's possible and you can really reap the benefits from it. Much smaller scale, obviously, than the federal government, but a great proof point, I think, for what's possible.
So as the pilot for the federal government, if you will, how do you anticipate getting all agencies to collaborate in this new information sharing initiative in the cybersecurity space?
There's a thing I learned a long time ago, you know, working in consulting, which is you can try to tell people things, you can command things. It usually doesn't; those things just don't work very well. And as a consultant, I loved using information and data to sort of shine a bright light on what exists today of truth-telling about the reality of the situation that we find ourselves in. And I mentally, in my own mind, called that shining a bright light on things. And I found that when you shine a bright light on things and expose the reality to people, and then ask the simple question, you know, is this how you want it to be? Is this the best we can do? Can we think about a better way? That's the beginning of what usually is a great conversation and the impetus to then go create something different. And so that's the kind of question that we'll be asking based on data and information and a very real examination of the situation that we find ourselves in. As a pilot, you know that situational awareness is probably the most important skill that a pilot has. And I like to say in government and in business, you know, it's great to fantasize about where you'd like to be, but if you don't have a really realistic understanding of where you are, that situational awareness, it's unlikely that you're ever going to do the things that are necessary to change that reality. And so I love the efforts that are underway already to gather a lot of information, showcase it, put a spotlight on it, and then use that as the common basis for saying, all right, now what do we want to do going forward? Or are we just going to accept this and say that's the best that we can do? And I would hope that we would say, no, there's a different way going forward.
We have to take a break. You've been listening to excerpts of a speech from new federal CIO Tony Scott. I'm Jason Miller, your host, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. In this part of the program, we hear from Deputy Federal CIO Lisa Schlosser, who expands on Federal CIO Tony Scott's priorities and plans during a recent panel discussion that I moderated at the FCA Bethesda Breakfast.
So I'm going to start with Lisa, kind of follow up from Tony. So first question I'll go with is the cyber unit. Give us an update, what's happening there. I know it's been around for more than a year, but really you guys seem to be more comfortable talking about it now.
If you really kind of want to get an in-depth look at the budget beyond kind of what Jason talked about, I'd look at the analytics chapter of the president's budget. As Tony mentioned, you know, there's several things that really Tony's focusing on is continuing down this path of delivering value in our IT investments. So you'll see a continued and renewed, actually, interest in data centers, and not just data centers like shutting down data centers, right, but more how are we going to gain efficiencies and effectiveness by really looking at how we use the cloud as we think about shutting down data centers. You saw the statistic on decrease in the hardware spend, increase 8.5% of our budget goes to cloud. So how do we continue to gain efficiencies by, you know, not just buying commodities, but thinking more strategically about the use of the cloud and other modern emerging technologies and solutions. And as part of all of that, is cyber. I mean, we have to think about information security and protecting these assets, you know, no matter what platform, what technology, or what process we improve in the government. And to that end, did formally kind of relaunch, I guess, a cyber unit in OMB. We've staffed up this cyber unit. This unit's really focused on increasing the number of what we call cyber stats, so working with agencies to really do kind of programmatic and technical reviews of cyber across the board, everything from how are you implementing strong authentication to are you adopting cloud solutions that are FedRAMP certified to how are you implementing continuous diagnostics and monitoring, kind of continuing to consolidate your trusted internet connections. So continuing, as Tony said, to land the plane on these existing initiatives. But the second part of that, as all of you know, that the new FISMA 2014 bill was enacted in December, December 18th, my birthday, just for the record. I don't know why that's important, I don't know, but I've been working cyber many years, so I thought it was great that it was my birthday. But the most important thing about that bill is it really codifies more DHS authority. So if you look at the cyber landscape, you have NSC, who's kind of focusing on national cybersecurity. You have the OMB cyber unit that's focused on protection of the .gov environment from a strategic policy and oversight perspective. And you have DHS that's taken on more of that operational role. And in fact, in FISMA, has the ability to issue binding operational directives to agencies to correct issues on an operational level across the board. So the second kind of big focus area of our new unit is really institutionalizing those new DHS authorities across the federal government. So we're working in close partnership with DHS there. So say increased oversight, better policy, and more work with DHS to scale their new operational capabilities would be the focus of that unit. Thanks.
So anytime there's a bill, there's usually guidance that comes with the bill?
Yes.
So do we wait for the next FISMA guidance, the annual one that comes up, or is there one in between that's coming? Make me some news, Lisa.
I'll give you some news. It's not really news because it's in the law, but one of the parts of the law is that OMB was required to update OMB Circular A130, Management of Information Resources. Appendix 3 of OMB A130, for all the policy geeks out there, is all about security. So that will be issued by the end of this calendar year, and that will update our cybersecurity policy across the .gov environment based on the new law and just based on general emerging best practices.
All right, so we've got to wait to the end of the year. I was hoping for something sooner.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm always wanting. All right, one last one. We'll switch to Joyce and Richard. Tony talked about the silos, break down some silos within government, a common theme we've heard over the years. Give me a sense from a digital services perspective, how to break down those silos, what is happening, at least from your office level.
A few things that, as I've been working with Tony over the past almost a month and a half, 2 months now, cyber's a big thing on his plate, increasing efficiency, like he mentioned, with cloud. And the third thing he's very much focused on is kind of our workforce and how do we build talent and grow talent within the government, but also how do we take advantage of talent in other kind of leading technology companies to come into the government and kind of work side by side with our great government employees to bring new skills into the way we buy, build, and deliver technology in conjunction with all of you. So to that end, we are focused on building the digital services team within OMB. So you'll start to see us bringing in some, career employees that have digital services specific skill sets. And in 15 also, you'll see us starting to work with agencies to build that digital services expertise and digital services teams within our federal government agencies. And in 16, we proposed about $105 million across the federal government to primarily bring in digital services experts to our agencies, again, to work side by side with our government employees, with our vendor partners, to bring this kind of an increased level of engineering and technical expertise into the government so that we can write better requirements and write better statements of work and write better contracts for you to provide us even better support going forward. So we're hoping by bringing in these experts who are really designed to work side by side, not displace, work side by side with the rest of us, we can really kind of accelerate the adoption of new technology and become more efficient and effective in the way we buy, build, and deliver technology.
We have to take a break. You just heard from Lisa Schlosser, the federal deputy CIO. She spoke at a recent panel discussion I moderated on the federal IT budget during a recent breakfast sponsored by FCA Bethesda. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. In this part of the program, we hear first from Agriculture Department Acting CIO Joyce Hunter, and then from Transportation Department CIO Richard McKinney. Both talk about their plans for 2015 and beyond as it relates back to the federal IT budget. They spoke on a panel that I moderated during a recent FCA Bethesda breakfast.
With USDA, for the past 2 years under our previous CIO, we had all these silos running off doing their own thing, buying their own thing, and so what Cheryl Cook did was she was able to form a more perfect union, if you will, of all of the CIOs, and we have now a CIO council. That enabled us to be able to find out from a high level what all the other agencies were doing and buying. Found out that, you know, various agencies, maybe 5 or 10 or more, because we have 29 of them, have their own contracts with various vendors. And so we were able to pull all of those together and create enterprise contracts. So we're gaining efficiencies that way. Second is we have done a lot in the area of data center consolidation, and we're well on the way. We only have two data centers right now, and they fit individual roles. Our NITSE data center primarily concentrates on the enterprise itself, as well as bringing in agencies for shared services. And then our CTS organization, they concentrate on servicing our field offices, and there are 2,100 service centers that service the farmers, the ranchers, the producers, etc. So we've consolidated those down to those areas. Our next big challenge is networks. We have 15 networks within USDA. So we are looking at ways in which we can consolidate those networks. We don't know whether it's going to be one big network or whether it's going to be multiple networks. So we started probably, I would say, 2 years ago with email consolidation to data center consolidation. Now we're working on network consolidation. And, of course, workforce is extremely important. Looking at the age and the maturity of our own workforce, we're looking at about 30% that's going to retire over the next 2 to 3 years. We have instituted a program, and we're adopting a program that OPM introduced, which is the phased retirement program. So folks aren't just jumping up and leaving now. They're able to phase in their retirement over time so that we can do a transfer of knowledge. You know, I'm a big Star Trek fan, so I wish that we could have, you know, the Vulcan mind meld and get all of that knowledge from one person into another immediately. But the phased project is going to work for us very well. The second is we have the IT Fellows Program, which takes our best and brightest 12s, 13s, and 14s and put them through a rigorous year program where they work in integrated teams. So now the agencies are working together on projects, whereas they had originally been separated into separate silos. Nobody knew what the other was doing. So now there's a lot of collaboration between them, and we're heavily investing in this particular program so that we can keep our new folks, we can keep maturing our traditional folks, we can recruit those people from industry into the USDA. But there's a lot going on, a lot of balls up in the air. And yes, I am acting CIO, but I also still have to do my job as Deputy CIO for Policy and Planning. So we are going to develop a target architecture, and we're going to, for our enterprise architecture, so that we know what systems touch other systems, because we hadn't been talking in the past. Now that we do have this really great collaboration and our CIO council, we're able to build a foundation where we can now move forward.
You talked about your next step, email was one, data centers two, now network. Is there any strategy behind that you can talk to?
Probably, I would say, within the next 18 months or so. We are now doing the evaluation. Of course, we're going to be part of the network's contract as well. But we're probably, I would say, within the next 18 months, we're going to have an RFP out or an RFI out, looking at ways in which we can consolidate our network infrastructure.
Richard McKinney, Transportation Department CIO, take it away.
As I was sitting listening to Tony, and I like that concept of shining a bright light, because I think that's what I've been trying to do this last 20 months at DOT. I came in and I looked at a very federated department. It was doing IT independent of one another across the department, and they weren't really having a conversation with one another. They sort of were doing a sort of nod of the head to shared services, but they weren't all in, and it wasn't genuine. They were doing just enough, I think, to keep some folks happy and be able to say they were at least doing something. But we weren't having a conversation, and so I'd steal Tony's phrase. I started trying to put a big spotlight on it, and I brought the CIOs of all the various operating administrations to the table and said, how can this be acceptable? This is not acceptable. You've been sort of living in this silo, and you think that's what IT is all about, and you complain you don't have enough money, but then you duplicate the spending of others, and you act like there isn't enough money to go around, and there's plenty of money. We got plenty of money. We just don't spend it very wisely. And they were taken aback a little bit by that, and then they said, well, Richard, the problem is you don't have a team capable of providing a dependable and reliable shared service. So until you do better at that, we're going to continue to hug our servers and hug the silos. And I said, I thought that's fair. That's true. And so I've been saying from the day I walked in the door that IT is a team sport. It's about the people that you have. It's about the teams that you build. It's about the conversations that you have. And so I set about to strengthen the office of the CIO in the Department of Transportation and bringing in talented folks. Hired a chief technology officer, Maria Rote, elevated my deputy, Kristen Baldwin, hired a chief data officer, elevated the chief geospatial officer in the department, got a new shared services director, a new policy and governance team. And I've put this team together, and I think, I'm really excited about what's about to happen, because now they can't say that to me. They can't say, I'm ready for their business. I told them the other day, I had a meeting with them. I said, one of the things that FITARA is going, how I'm going to use that authority is that you're all getting out of the IT business. You're not going to be dealing with networks. You're not going to be dealing with desktops. You're not going to be dealing with servers. You're not going to be firefighters anymore. We're going to provide that to you as a world-class enterprise service. We're going to blend in the cloud, and we're going to do that right. And then your challenge is you've got to turn around and face your businesses. And you got to have the conversation with your businesses about what they need at the solutions layer. Because the catchphrase I've used since I've been there is this infrastructure we have, this disjointed, federated, decentralized infrastructure, that beast always gets fed first. And so you're firefighting and you run out of money, and then what do you do with your solutions layer? You just kick the can down the road. And that's how we end up with all these legacy solutions. And then the experience of the customer is, you're kind of old school. And it's time we change that. And it's time that I as a CIO, step up, accept the responsibility of providing them that basic commodity IT infrastructure, and then be the catalyst to have the conversation, to make sure the CIOs are talking to their businesses, talking about the solutions layer. And I think that this whole FITARA thing, the other thing I really like and I'm excited that relates to the budget is, since December, I've been in an incredible conversation with my CFO and chief budget officer, with my human capital folks, with my acquisition people, because I feel there's a renewed sense of, hey, we're all in this together. We all own a piece of this. And information technology has become so necessary in almost everything we're trying to do that community realizes together we can take this authority. And, people talk a lot about FITARA from authority, and I do too, but, there's an awful lot of accountability in it too. And we got to accept the accountability. You know, that's why we signed on. I used to work for a governor and said, you know, if you didn't want to work, you shouldn't have signed on. I signed on for this. And so I'm excited that, one, I have this great partnership with the other CXOs in the department. You know, I've got more than half of the operating administration saying, well, I really like what you're trying to do, and let's try to get this, let's use FATARA together to make a difference and to actually build a foundation for the future. And then for the ones that are still hanging back, well, that's where the authority part comes in, and that's where the budget authority comes in, that's where the purchasing authority comes in. You know, we'll have those difficult conversations. But you know, I think this is an incredible time. I feel really lucky to be in the federal space at this crossroads because, you know, this is our time. As CIOs, if we're going to prove our worth, now's the time because, you know, we are rapidly approaching the 2020 with a 1980s construct, and that is not acceptable.
That's all the time we have for today. We heard from Agriculture Department Acting CIO Joyce Hunter and Transportation Department CIO Richard McKinney. Earlier in the show, we also heard excerpts from Federal CIO Tony Scott's first public speech and from Deputy Federal CIO Lisa Schlosser. All four spoke at a panel I moderated during a recent FCA Bethesda breakfast. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.